Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. It's been a difficult couple of years, hasn't it, for all of us with this pandemic, curtailing our family visits and the opportunity to go out and have some fun of some sort or another. This weekend is the Festival of Water, which is being organised by the Inland Waterways Association. So what do they do and what are they all about? Well, joining me on the line now, live from a narrowboat, is Bob Fox, who is the Secretary of the Birmingham Black Country and Worcestershire branch of the Inland Waterways Association. Good evening, Bob.
Good evening, Clive.
So you're on a narrowboat. Where exactly in the world are you then? I'm intrigued.
I'm currently at Purdeswell Park in Worcester.
Right.
Just on the Worcester-Birmingham Canal, about a mile north of the junction with the River Severn.
Right, okay. And I always think, though, narrowboats, they're a lovely way of getting around. And I mean, you know, hundreds of years ago, that was how a lot of our goods were moved around, but on barges as opposed to narrowboats. But I always think that, you know, you can be sitting outside having a glass of something and just watching the world go by. What a nice way to spend a Friday evening.
It works for me, and it works for a great many other people as well. And I think that's one of the key things about being by waterways, whether you're on it on a boat or indeed walking beside it.
Sure. Tell me about the work, Bob, of the Inland Waterways Association.
Well, it was the IWA was founded in 1946 as a result of a meeting between two gentlemen who were concerned about the demise of the canals, of course, as they gave way to, well, they'd given way to rail, and were now sort of fighting the loss of trade by increased transport by road. And it's essentially, so this is our 75th anniversary year, mm-hmm. But essentially it's an organisation that is passionate about protecting the unique heritage and the habitats that of the waterways that are constantly under threat these days, mm. from not only lack of funding but also from inconsiderate planning, which is can be a major problem.
Yeah,
and you see that around. Well, I suppose the Black Country route caused canals to be one or two canals to be rerouted.
Mm.
So we have to we keep close tabs on what's going on in terms of what we actually do. There's plenty going on with restorations nationally. We have indeed one locally is of course the Bradley Canal restoration.
Yes.
But the work of most of the branches is really around keeping tabs on planning, organising work parties where necessary, or supporting the local societies and groups who have adopted canals.
Yes.
In a particular area.
How does the work that you do differ from the work of the Canal and River Trust then?
Well, two totally separate organisations.
Yes.
Canal and River Trust came about in 2012, I think it was. It was formerly British Waterways.
Mm.
And they have the... CRT is essentially the legal custodian, although it is now a charity, responsible to Her Majesty's Government for maintaining the waterways.
Right.
Inland Waterways Association is really very much more involved with trying to ensure that all waterways are maintained, and we also have the Waterway Recovery Group arm who actually assist societies, canal restoration societies, with specific pieces of work. So if you like, I suppose we could be said to be a critical friend of Canal and River Trust.
And they of yours. And you were theirs as well.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Definitely.
Well, you work better together, don't you?
Absolutely.
Daggers drawn.
That's right. Now, you were talking about the restoration work at Cradley. How do you go about restoring a canal? Because, however, you know, regardless of how long it is in, you know, in distance, it strikes me as being quite a monstrous job. And it can take, I guess, years, can it?
Oh, I would measure it in decades.
Oh, really? Crumbs.
Very often. It's staggering just how complex it can be. I suppose the starting point really is that you have to have a viable canal track. And given that we've lost, 60 miles of canal in Birmingham over the years, in the conurbation, and then get the support of the local population, and that is seriously important. From there, you can form your society. And you can start the laborious process of getting all the right permissions, land ownership, planning permission. There's a whole load of surveys that need doing, and then of course on top of that there's fundraising, and so you think you can do something fairly quickly, which I guess back in the 50s and 60s, you could turn up with a crowd of folk and with pickaxes and shovels. Today, you've got to think about Harris fencing and health and safety and all the rest of it.
Sure.
So, I think the answer, certainly with Bradley, which I am actively involved with, we've been going for just over 2.5 years now.
Right.
We're just about getting to a point where we think we might be able to demonstrate that we have done the first elements of what you could class as due diligence, but the various surveys and so forth, before then looking at how we get professional input and, of course, how we raise funds for that. So, I suppose... the nearest one, you may be familiar with the Lichfield and Hatherton project, which has been going a number of years and is making steady but slow progress.
Mm-hmm.
The Droitwich project, which involved the Droitwich Barge Canal from the River Severn up to Droitwich, and then the Junction Canal, which took it up to Hanbury, that took 35 years.
Oh, crumbs. Right, okay.
So don't hold your breath.
No, absolutely not. But you've been lucky, haven't you, because you've had people like Sir David Suchet working with you, particularly where the Uttoxeter Canal was concerned. And, you know, what sort of contribution does somebody like him make?
I think he's massive. You can use somebody's fame and name to such good effect with the publicity they generate. You can look at Timothy West and Prue Scales.
Yes.
They're really well known. They've done an awful lot to promote the waterways. Locally, we've got Pat McFadden as patron of Bradley Canal Restoration Society.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy Morton's involved, MP, is involved with Lichfield and Hatherton. Another local MP, Michael Fabricant, is involved with he chairs the All-Party Parliamentary Waterways Group, which the Inland Waterways Association provide the secretariat for. So that gives us a direct line, if you will, into Parliament.
Sure. Now, part of, you know, as you said, the restoration work, clearly, if something can take 35 years, doesn't happen overnight. But you've got these things called canal camps. What's that all about? Is there a clue in the name, in the sense that you can camp out by the canal and work as part of a volunteer team with a restoration project? Or is it more than that?
It's the Waterways Recovery arm of the Inland Waterways Association deal with all sorts of work around waterways, and although they're all, I mean, we're all volunteers, and let me perhaps make that quite clear, that we're supported by a small group of employees at Chesham, but essentially everybody is a volunteer, and Waterways Recovery Group is no different, and they undertake training so that they can use plants, like diggers and so forth. And their work camps are planned around what particular pieces of work that various restoration societies are undertaking. And they'll take a week, drop into a restoration to maybe rebuild a lock or a load of lock walls or things like that. They'll stay in a local village hall, perhaps, and so it's fairly basic. But you've got pretty well all age groups there, from 18 up to 80, and some people are well skilled in bricklaying or handling some sorts of plant. Others, you need a cook, chief cook and bottle washer. And plenty of people who are good at can go for it, really, and yes, just help with the more mundane things. So they go in for a week. They've got a plan of action, and generally, if the weather allows, they achieve that in that period. They achieve their aims in that period, and have a jolly good social get together every evening.
Sure.
I understand it involves beer, but I couldn't possibly comment on that.
No, I quite agree. You are wise beyond your years, Bob. Now, this weekend is all about the Festival of Water. Tell me about that.
The Festival of Water, I suppose you could really say, is a way in which the Inland Waterways Association can showcase what it does to the general public locally. It moves around the country year on year, and so in doing so is able to highlight different waterway projects, and indeed gives I think a far better level of publicity. Not only doing it, it does, we do it in conjunction with local authorities.
Right.
Again, it comes back to what we were saying with CRT. It's better to work with organisations than against them. And we get some tremendous, support from, I mean, certainly from Worcester City Council. We've had a very good level of support. And it's gone on because, of course, we were supposed to be here last year.
Yes.
And if you remember rightly, last year didn't actually happen.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't.
On any level, for anybody, really, unless you were in the NHS or Sainsbury's. Mm.
So, I mean, how can we get involved with the Festival of Water here in the Black Country, for example?
Well, I think it's come down the road on Saturday, Sunday or Monday to Purdaswell Park, just off the A38 in Worcester.
Right.
And come and have a good look round. It's free entry, we family friendly, and dogs of course are welcome.
Yes,
there's plenty going on, and really,
but there'll be lots of narrow boats to see and other vessels, won't there?
We've got 92 narrow boats in at the moment, I think. And that varies from, they vary in length from 30 feet to 72 feet. But they're all the same width, about 6 foot 10. Otherwise, they won't fit through the locks and the bridges.
But, no, that's right.
We've got one or two work boats. Most of the boats here are leisure boats. And we've also got a steam-powered boat,
Brill,
which is quite unusual. But is lovingly looked after by its owner and his brother.
You've also got a number of stalls there as well, haven't you? What will we see on the stalls?
On the stalls we've got, I suppose on the food and drink side, there's a wide range of the usual sort of things that you'd expect from... on Sunday, I think there's an Indian street food stall. Mm-hmm. But for the rest of the time, there's plenty of food, drink, coffee, kebabs, that sort of thing, and ice cream, of course.
Absolutely. Hopefully the weather will look favourably on you, so they'll be able to have ice cream. But just, and as you said, enjoy the waterway, understand about how narrowboats work and how the waterways actually work, and also to how to be safe around them as well, I would have thought.
Very, very important. Very important. It's very easy to think, oh, it looks lovely, it's wonderful, you can relax. Yes, you can relax, but it's no different to being in your own land-based home. Mm-hmm. There are hazards,
yes,
and they need to be managed. So you relax with your eyes open a little bit. And I think one of the great advantages of having the Festival of Water is it gives the public opportunity to come and have a look, and it gives us an opportunity to tell people about their waterways. You'd be amazed at how many people will see a narrowboat somewhere in the Black Country toddling along and say, I didn't know there was a canal here.
I mean, we're right by the canal here in Briley Hill because our studios are at the waterfront, and it's lovely, yeah, here because you've got all the boats that are moored up, and a bridge to walk from one side of the waterfront to another. And on a sunny day, regardless of whether it's summer or winter, it's absolutely beautiful. It really is. And of
it
course
is,
the canals integrate, yeah, with, straight into Birmingham and further out and so on and so forth. So it is a nice part to be in.
It is. I was moored there a few days ago. And it's a lovely spot.
Now, we're talking, Bob, about narrowboats, but I often hear people refer to narrowboats as barges. Now, I said at the beginning, barges were instrumental on our canals hundreds of years ago by moving our goods around. Tell me the difference, if you will, between a narrowboat and a barge.
It's they are very, very different. A narrowboat is what it says on the tin, really. It fits in the narrow canals. A barge is much broader. So where you have a narrow boat as being about 6 foot 10 inches wide, mm-hmm, a barge will be 12 or 14 foot wide. And in fact, you think cost cutting is something relatively new in the last 50 years. What they found originally, it was intended that the Grand Union Canal, which is a broad canal, that is to say it is big enough for barges, would go from London to Birmingham, which it does, but then continue on up to Manchester. But they decided that it was cheaper to build narrow canals. Mm-hmm. And so consequently, goods had to be transshipped from the barges into the narrow boats.
Oh, right.
Which, of course... can't take the same quantity of goods.
Sure,
but and that's it's really about the width,
right?
But yes, it's a common misconception that narrowboats are barges.
Yes, I often hear them referred to colloquially, and I'm thinking, no, I'm sure that's wrong. Now, this weekend, as I've said, it's the Festival of Water. It's on from Saturday, tomorrow, Sunday, and Monday. You said, am I right in saying that?
Correct, yeah.
Lovely. And where can we find out more by looking on the internet for information?
It's all on the website, the Waterways website.
So that's waterways.org.uk.
Thank you.
Is that the right one?
that's the one, yeah.
Lovely. Yeah. That's super. Bob Fox, Secretary of the Birmingham Black Country and Worcestershire branch of the Inland Waterways Association, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive. That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.